Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is Krieg v. Siebold. Mr. Groth.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is William Groth, and I'm representing the appellant, Mr. Krieg, as well as AFSCME Local 3063. May it please the Court. Your Honors, for nearly 19 years, actually for over 19 years, which was nearly his entire adult work life, Robert Krieg was a reliable public employee of the City of Marion's Street and Sanitation Department. He typically performed routine duties such as plowing snow, mowing grass, sealing cracks in the streets and sidewalks, and other duties that are not different than any public employee in any city in the United States might typically perform. During those 19 years that he worked for the City of Marion, he had never been involved in an accident involving either property damage or personal injury. He had never reported for work impaired, and the city had no reason to suspect that any of his fellow employees had any sort of drug problem or that any of those other 40 or so department employees had ever reported for work impaired. There was also an ample opportunity each morning when the employees reported for work at the garage to get their daily assignment for supervisors to directly observe the demeanor of those employees to look for any telltale signs of potential impairment. Now, in late 2002, despite the fact that Mr. Krieg was subject to a grandfather exception in the collective bargaining agreement that permitted him not to have to obtain a commercial driver's license as a condition of his employment, he was subjected to a random urinalysis. He protested.
Why does it make a difference if he had or didn't have that license if he was still doing some of the things that people with licenses did?
Because, Your Honor, he was not operating commercial motor vehicles. The other employees who had CDLs and who were required to have CDLs were permitted and required on a daily basis to operate the heavier equipment.
I thought he did operate some heavy equipment.
He did not, no. He operated at most a one-ton dump truck.
But did he need that kind of a license to do
that? No, you don't. You don't. In fact, the federal law is very clear as to what constitutes a commercial motor vehicle. It has to be a vehicle that is used for public transportation or that weighs more than 26,000 pounds. And in fact, it's a violation of federal law to assign an employee who doesn't have a CDL to operate what is defined in federal statute and regulations as a commercial motor vehicle.
So just so I understand, you're saying that the record does not support any view that he did some of the work, although a small part, but some of the work that people with the CDLs also did.
Well, there's no question, Your Honor, that some of the employees with the CDLs would have occasionally mowed the grass and shoveled the snow, but that's not work that requires a CDL. I think part of the problem here is that the district court, when it quoted the provision of the policy manual, the city's policy manual, left the word motor out. I mean, it just said commercial vehicle, and the term in the policy manual is commercial motor vehicle, and that is a term of art that has a discrete definition under the federal statute. And it's Mr. Krieg did not have a CDL, wasn't required to have a CDL, and therefore was prohibited from operating the heavier equipment.
So of all the people that were subject to that random urinalysis on this particular day, you say Krieg was grandfathered and didn't have to be included, or should not have been included, and who else?
There were about a half a dozen other employees who, because they were hired before September of 2000, were not required to have a CDL.
But some got
CDLs. You were permitted to get a CDL if you wanted.
But when the test was given,
yes,
when it was administered, how many people were exempt from that?
There were, that we think should have been exempt, there were about five or six. But of course, the city required all of them, including those without CDLs, to pass urine.
And is Krieg is the only one who refused to take the test?
Krieg refused to take the test, that's right, on principle. He was also the vice president of the union. He had felt strongly that you know, because he had been tested in 2000.
Well, you say in principle, but he also had a positive drug test a couple of years earlier.
2000,
he?
That's correct. And that's the one he protested.
Mixed with pragmatism.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. I think the invocation of constitutional rights sometimes is mixed with pragmatism.
Sure. Mr. Grove, what is the size of Marion?
The size of Marion, the population, unfortunately, it's been shrinking rapidly. I think it's probably now about 35 to 40,000.
Could he have been assigned to drive a vehicle, a larger vehicle?
He could not have been assigned to drive a vehicle that is defined as a commercial motor vehicle.
Why is that?
Because of federal statute that we point out in our brief. The federal statute, I can...
But what is the federal statute? How does that control Marion's assignment? You mean if you... are they getting federal funds or somehow? Why is that statute compelling for the city on its assignment?
Because it is illegal for an employer, including a municipal employer, to assign a person who does not have a CDL to operate a commercial motor vehicle.
None of the non-CDL holders in Marion ever operated those kind of vehicles.
There's nothing in the record that indicates that they did. In fact, it would have been illegal, and I think it may even be a felony.
I appreciate what you're saying about illegal. Now, what's the background in grandfathering in a small community some people to not get CDLs? What's the policy behind that?
Your Honor, I really don't know. There's nothing in the record as to what the bargaining history of that provision was. We know it must have gone into the contract after 2000 because that's the grandfather date.
Do you think that was the purpose was to exclude people from because of this definition, to exclude them from possible testing for drugs?
That's my belief, that the union wanted to protect the privacy interests of certain employees who could have gotten CDLs if they wanted to, but they were exempted from the requirement to get those. And, of course, it costs money. They have to undergo physical tests. And, there are some bureaucratic procedures that have to be complied with. And I think Mr. Krieg and some of the others who were grandfathered decided they didn't want to go through that hassle. Now, there were also some benefits because they could have operated the full range of equipment, could have had a broader range of job assignments, and I think maybe could have made some additional money. But they chose not to, and I think that demonstrates that they, including Mr. Creek, had a reasonable expectancy of privacy. This is not a heavily regulated industry. Working for the city of Marion in the Street and Sanitation Department, which is the type of situation where the courts have found that there is a diminished expectation of privacy, in corrections and in transportation and so forth. These people are just regular public servants. And if you accept or adopt the district court's reasoning here, you're really going to have a situation where the exceptions to the Fourth Amendment are swallowing up the rule.
Is it your position, just so I'm clear on the record here, that he performed absolutely no functions that were safety sensitive in his job?
No, I think everybody performs, every employee performs, has to be concerned about safety. I mean, safety is a pervasive concern. But if all it takes for the city to exempt itself from Fourth Amendment requirements is to say, we think you're a safety sensitive employee, therefore we can test you without reasonable suspicion, again, the exceptions have swallowed up the rule. And I don't think that that's what the Supreme Court has said in Chandler or any of the other cases. The Supreme Court has required some sort of evidentiary justification for a special need. I mean, in Skinner, you have the people, these people are driving or conducting trains, and the tests are only conducted after an accident. Von Raab, you had employees with the Customs Department who were involved in drug interdiction, who were subject to bribe. I mean, there's always an evidentiary justification, but here there was none. I mean, the city acknowledged, after acknowledging for all these years, that it couldn't require non-CDL employees to be subject to a suspicionless search, decided, to simply because our new mayor came into office, that we're changing our policy, and we're now going to make all employees subject to suspicionless testing. And I just don't, I think that goes well beyond what the Supreme Court has said is a very closely guarded exception to the regular Fourth Amendment rules of individualized suspicion.
Well, and they can't require, this is, as I'm looking at it now, it says the safe operation of city equipment during any period. What's the problem with that?
Well, I don't think there's any problem with the city wanting
well,
to emphasize
impaired,
safety.
If you're impaired, isn't that a problem?
It certainly is impaired, and you can be, and if you are impaired, then you can be tested for cause, for reasonable suspicion. And every day, Mr. Krieg and these other employees went to work. And they were subject to direct observation by supervisors. And if there was any question whatsoever that they were impaired, they could have been detained. They could have been required to take a urinalysis test at that point and could have been dealt with appropriately.
You would agree, would you not, or perhaps you wouldn't, but that in the area of the transportation industry, and you may disagree that this has any tie to the transportation industry, that that's an area where there's been significant testing. I mean, we have flight attendants that are tested.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, as I understand his duties, he isn't just plowing the parks. He's on city streets and the like. Would you analogize in any way his increased presence over, the average citizen, unless you're a delivery truck driver, I suppose, which, again, raises the question of the sweep of this, but this is a city policy. Do you see any analogy to those areas where the Supreme Court has suggested, at least in the transportation industry, which, you know, deals with the public on an extensive basis, that he might fall in that category not protected by Supreme Court decision?
I think the difference between driving the city bus, you know, with maybe 50 passengers on it and driving a pickup truck around the city streets is quite different, Your Honor. And I think, again, if you're going to extend, the Supreme Court has never extended this special need to anyone who happens to drive a vehicle on the city streets. I mean, everybody, just about everybody who goes to work is driving a city vehicle or driving a vehicle on public thoroughfares. If that were the rule, then I think the Supreme Court would have sanctioned, you know, just random suspicionless stopping of vehicles and requiring them to pass urine or to, you know, the Supreme Court has never gone that far. The Fourth Amendment hopefully still has some teeth to it and acts as a restriction on the government conducting these suspicionless searches. They always have the right to conduct a search based on probable cause or reasonable suspicion. And here, unlike, you know, for example, the employees in Von Raab, who are out not reporting to a central location every day and are dealing in these, you know, with drug traffickers and so forth, these employees are just regular street department employees who
so, but you would say in this case we're going to draw the line that if you plow the streets with one of the large classic snow plows, you are going to be tested. But if you've got the plow on a pickup truck, which I suggest is probably the case with Mr. Groth based on the description of briefs, then you're not. So I guess it's the size of the equipment, not the frequency or the venue of work.
I mean,
it's all line drawing.
It's line drawing, exactly. And Congress has drawn the line and said 26,000 pounds and above requires a CDL. And of course, the Ninth Circuit said the random testing of people who are required to have CDLs is constitutional. And this was after fact-finding and so forth in Congress. Here we had no fact-finding by the city. We had no...
What about equipment that's dangerous to the operator, like where you put limbs in these shredders or chippers?
Certainly, there's a safety component. There's a safety component to just about anything anybody does.
That's an inherently dangerous piece of equipment. Wouldn't they have a right to require somebody to operate something like that to have the test?
For reasonable suspicion, based on...
No, not reasonable suspicion. Because it's a dangerous instrumentality, the chipper, wouldn't it make sense to have him covered as a CDL?
Well, if deterrence, I guess, was the only factor that the courts look at in determining whether there's a special need, I suppose so, but that's not the law. I mean, this court has said in the Joy versus Pennhurst Madison case that, you know, if that were the case, then the Supreme Court wouldn't have gone to all the trouble in drawing these lines and saying that only certain school children could be tested and only certain public employees could be tested. I see my red light is on. I'd better save the rest of my time.
Well, the time has expired, but we'll
did consider. Did all my time expire?
Yes, but we'll consider some time for you, Ms. Wood. Thank you.
Since Judge Flom is no longer the chief, he's much more generous. So you have an extra couple minutes.
Ms. Bauer.
May it please the court, my name is Diana Bauer, and I represent the City of Marion in this case. I think the court, by its questioning of Mr. Groth, has already focused on what's really the critical issue with respect to this appeal, that issue being whether Mr. Craig is to be considered a safety-sensitive employee of the Street and Sanitation Department of the City of Marion. There's no bright-line test that's ever been applied by the Supreme Court, this court, or any other court, being the test that the appellants want you to apply. If you have a CDL, you're safety sensitive. If you don't have a CDL, you're not. There's obviously some category in between. This has already been pointed out by the court. There are a lot of types of equipment and vehicles Mr. Craig operated. While they may not have required him to have a commercial driver's license because they didn't weigh over 26,001 pounds, they're still dangerous equipment, big vehicles, something other than just you or I, if we're working for the government, driving a government car.
This is about line drawing, but why wouldn't the appropriate line be if you have to have a CDL, you get tested randomly, and if you don't, you don't?
Well, that would be an inappropriate line because you would have a large category.
Yeah, but if that was the collective bargaining, the result of collective bargaining between the union and and the employer, the city, why shouldn't that be honored?
Well, that's an interesting point because the collective bargaining agreement itself doesn't draw any distinction. It specifically states that all Street and Sanitation Department employees, which includes Mr. Craig, all Street and Sanitation employees agree to abide by the city's drug testing policy. Then if you go to the personnel policy manual in effect in 2002-2003 when this collective bargaining agreement went into place, the city's policy said you're subject to random testing if you operate a commercial motor vehicle and or have a commercial driver's license. So again, there's the category of employees within the Street and Sanitation Department that operate pickup trucks, operate dump trucks, forklifts. Now that we've had a good snow, at least in this part, Indiana hasn't had any snow in my part of the state yet, you have people out with snow plows. So they're operating vehicles other than a passenger vehicle that a city employee might operate. So there's a large spans between my brief being an example of somebody who needs a commercial driver's license because this vehicle weighs 26,000 pounds, and somebody who's just driving a passenger vehicle for the city that's this size, or something in between. And the more the job responsibilities Mr. Craig had that look similar to the job responsibilities and duties of individuals who do have commercial driver's licenses, the more he should be considered a safety-sensitive employee.
Well, that's why I asked Mr. Groth about what he actually did on the job. This, you know, whether, you know, God forbid he should do some work that would require a CDL but not really have one. That wouldn't be all that surprising.
Well, he's operating backhoes. He's operating forklifts. These are not things that meter maid is probably an antiquated example, but if there was a city employee that went around and checked if people were putting their money in for the parking on the city street, they have these little vehicles that they operate, not much different in size than a passenger vehicle. These are much larger pieces of equipment that Mr. Craig is operating. Some of them require special training. I don't know that many of us would know how to go operate a backhoe or a forklift or a front-end loader. And he's spending hours during the course of his workday out in the general motoring public using these larger vehicles. So the only distinction between Mr. Craig and the rest of the Street and Sanitation Department employees is that he doesn't have a commercial driver's license. So the really big trucks, being this size trucks, he's prohibited from operating, but there's a whole range of vehicles that he is permitted to operate as part of his employment, which gives rise to the safety concerns that have been expressed by the courts. Several of the cases that we cited in our brief were cases where the employee didn't have a commercial driver's license, but the courts don't use that particular factor as the dividing line. There's a lot of work that he did that's much different than just the general person driving their car. So the more he's closely similar to what the individuals with commercial driver's licenses are doing, he should be treated as such as far as drug testing.
Touched on briefly by Mr. Groth was the possibility that there were financial incentives if you get paid more money if you have a CDL.
Quite frankly, I'm not sure of that answer, if there's more compensation or not. There is just a very small group of employees, and currently I think it's probably less than a handful of employees. If somebody were to come in today to apply for work in the street and sanitation department, within the next 6 months, that individual has to have their commercial driver's license. So it's a very small group, and it's a smaller group now since Mr. Craig has left his employment. Mr. Gonzalez was another individual who did not have a commercial driver's license, who took the random drug test that day. He's no longer employed with the City of Marion. So at the present time, there may only be two or three employees that do not have commercial driver's licenses that do a lot of the same type of work as those that do have commercial driver's licenses, except for the really big vehicles that do require a commercial driver's license.
Yeah, I would think that if there is a financial incentive, then you would naturally want to get one of these licenses, assuming that it wasn't a lot of rigmarole that you had to go through to do it.
Sure. I'm not aware of them receiving any additional compensation or having a higher hourly wage or starting salary because they have a commercial driver's license.
The policy manual was in effect in 2001. The definition, and I'm reading from your brief, provided for random drug testing for all, quote, safety-sensitive employees, close quote, and included within the definition, quote, all positions which require an employee to operate a commercial vehicle and or hold a commercial driver's license. Your position is that it actually included more than that?
Well, the and or language I think is important because, again, you get into what is the definition of a commercial motor vehicle. It's obviously something different than a vehicle that requires a commercial driver's license being 26,001 pounds or more. The language used in our policy manual being and or means something less than a commercial driver's license required vehicle is considered to be a commercial motor vehicle. So that's, I think, where the court got into the balancing test as far as the privacy interests of the employee and the safety concerns that the City of Marion has when its street and sanitation department employees are out working amongst the general public on a daily basis operating much larger vehicles than what the general public would be operating.
At least in January of 2000, as I read the briefs, there was about 40 people in the streets and sanitation department in the city.
Correct.
Is it your position that other than the ministerial operation, that is reports or someone who just doesn't leave the yard, so to speak, that the rest, everyone in the streets and sanitation would probably, because of the nature of the responsibilities of the department, would be subject to testing?
Yes, everybody within the department basically has the same types of job responsibilities and duties. Someone who has a commercial driver's license has some additional vehicles they can operate because of their status as a commercial driver's license holder. But what Mr. Craig did on a daily basis, patching city streets, mowing the grass, using a backhoe to dig a hole on a construction project, removing the snow, he can do that regardless of whether he has a commercial driver's license.
I appreciate that, but I just want to get the sweep of your position. So you're saying that streets and sanitation, because of the nature of its operation in any municipality, is such that other than the most ministerial post, would be safety-sensitive within the context of the cases that have been decided to date.
Yes, that would be our position, and it is consistent with the cases that we have cited in our brief. This random test that occurred on the day that Mr. Craig refused to take the test, our street and sanitation department supervisor, Jack Antrobus, decided, I'm going to have 100% test. All of my employees are being tested. The only person who was not tested was his secretary, who would be an example of an individual in a more ministerial position, not out amongst the general public
operating
vehicles.
Now, was that after the change in the policy handbook? The fact that he was going to test them all in one day?
Yes.
Prior to that, back with the definition that I read to you, plaintiff, Mr. Krieg, underwent random drug testing periodically as all the employees that worked in street and sanitation. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so under that, there was no objection lodged under that policy, at least up to a certain point.
No, Mr. Craig always took the drug test when selected in the past. The test prior to the test he refused, as the court's already indicated, is a test that he did not pass. So when this random test, 100% test, that's the subject of this lawsuit, was announced that day, I obviously don't know all the reasons why Mr. Craig would decide not to take the test, since it is provided for in the collective bargaining agreement, but he refused to take that test. And again, you have to look at that not in a vacuum, because you've got to look at that from the perspective that just the year earlier he had taken a test that he did not pass. So again, we think the court should not take a narrow approach to this particular issue on when an employee is considered to be a safety-sensitive employee. There's been no cases cited by the appellant that suggests that there's a black-and-white rule to apply to this or some kind of a bright-line test. You have to have a balancing test. That's what all of the courts have decided, including the Supreme Court, looking at the privacy interests of the employee, but also looking at the safety interests of the government.
Does the city require the fire and police to be tested?
I believe the fire department and the police department have their own separate collective bargaining agreements, so I am unaware of what is contained in their collective bargaining agreements, but they would be subject to the personnel policy and procedures manual, which the one currently in effect has a broader definition of somebody who is considered to be safety sensitive. So without looking at the collective bargaining agreements, it would be my thought that they would also be subject to random drug testing under their policies. So again, I think what the district court did, given the safety issues that were at issue in our case, Mr. Craig is not a commercial driver's license holder, but he's also not over on this end just being someone who's operating a car. So there's some category in between, which is why the district court ultimately concluded that he would be considered a safety-sensitive employee and therefore was subject to the random drug testing that took place on that day. So we would therefore ask that the summary judgment entered in favor of the city of Marion be affirmed by this court.
Thank you, Ms. Bauer.
Thank you.
Ms. Groth, your time had expired, as we noted, but you may have 2 minutes.
I'll just make a couple of brief points. First of all, we haven't even talked about the Loudermill issue, but I assume that's in our briefs and I think fully explicated. It's our position that the city hasn't proved a special need within the meaning of the Chandler and other cases. There's no evidentiary foundation to show even what exactly Mr. Krieg did and how much what percentage of the time he spent doing certain functions versus other functions. There's no showing that the individualized suspicion testing would not be practicable in this instance, given the daily direct observation by supervisors to see whether there was any signs of impairment, in which case the testing could have been required. The city, even if the city had established a special need, that still then requires the balancing of the public and private interests, such as this court did in the Joy case and the Willis case involving school children. And we think that because of the privacy expectations of Mr. Craig and the other factors that are present here, that the Fourth Amendment interest should prevail.
Mr. Groth, let me ask you the question that I asked Ms. Bauer. The CDL issue aside, could a municipality decide that the nature of streets and sanitation operation save ministerial responsibilities, that everyone in a department who is about the main mission, that is, yeah, not record keeping, could like fire and police perhaps be so labeled sensitive?
Well, I think fire and police, I think the case law is pretty clear that they're already subject to that kind of testing. I think it depends, again, on the facts. Certainly, the Supreme Court has always looked to see whether there's any factual justification for deviating from the normal Fourth Amendment requirements, such as where, for example, the governmental entity comes forward with evidence that, you know, we've had a bunch of accidents and we can show that they've been caused by impaired driver or impaired employees, where there's a number of employees who have been arrested for sale or possession or that sort of thing. Here,
well,
there is no such.
We do have laws, for example, traffic laws that indicate as you approach a construction or repair zone that there's increased penalties if you cause accidents that harm workers. Could a city reasonably conclude that everyone about that work, that's recognizing everybody's who drives a car is on the highways and byways, but the streets and sands, as we say in Chicago, has a mission that has an exposure and a risk factor that would justify, within the context of not breaking ground here. I mean, would you say we'd have to break ground to reach that conclusion?
I think you'd have to break ground. Thank you very much for indulging.
Thank you, Mr. Bowery. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will...